Viren. I'm being followed. I noticed them a few hours ago as the sun rose across the rugged Ferino Desert, turning the distant wash of the South Burr to eye-searing gold. To give my watering eyes a break, I had twisted in my saddle to look back into the lingering purple dawn, and that's when I saw them, the helms and tack of soldiers glinting in the dust, following my line across the sagebrush flats. I chew my lip and scan the ground again, thanks to the still damp soil from last night's hellacious thunderstorm. My horse, Curie, is leaving deep hoofprints as clearly as if I were stamping a trail for the McCoyan soldiers to follow. I'm well off Lark's course, so I've yet to see any prints left from her horse or an errant paw mark from a loping coy dog. But maybe that's just part of her power, leaving no mark on the landscape. I try to shake that notion. Lark's not a magical desert sun goddess, and she's not a bandit, either. She's a princess. Drowning my anxiety at the pursuing soldiers is a now familiar wave of light. I don't even know what this emotion is. Shame? Regret? Astonishment at my own stupidity? I travelled with Lark for 6 days across the desert, saw her eyes from inches away as she hauled me down a ridge, saw the freckles mixed in with the dirt and the eye black on her cheeks, and not once did I make any connection to her twin sister, Eloise. She was wearing a bandana, I insisted to Rue just hours ago as we both stood aghast in the rain. The eye black, the dreadlocks, the hat, the bedamned sun always blazing behind her. But no. In the long, lonely ride through the night, I finally realised what I wasn't seeing. Lark's difference from Eloise goes further than hairstyle and sunburn. Eloise is like her father, Rue, amiable, generous, easy, with a quick smile and a ready laugh. Lark, Moira, Moira Alastair, she isn't like Rue. Lark is like her mother. The way she stands with her shoulders thrown back, the way she uses silence to intimidate and establish power, the way she turns a rock or a bucket or her horse's saddle into a throne, the judicious way she hands out approval, the way she uses all that hardness as a front for how much she actually cares about the people around her. Eloise is like Ambassador Rue. Lark is like Queen Mona. I twist in the saddle again. The dust cloud seems closer, or maybe the growing light is just making it more obvious against the long shadows thrown by the dusky sage. I'm leading them right to her, right to the hidden camp in Three Lines Canyon, but I don't dare veer off to try to lose them in a creek or rocky rise. Once Lark reaches her canyon, she's not going to stick around, and I can't risk losing her trail. If I don't find her in Three Lines, if she disappears into the Ferino, there's no way I'll see her again unless she wants me to. Which, given current circumstances, is beyond impossible. I shake myself, slapping my cheeks. I've pushed Curie through the night, only stopping to rest once the owl star rose, and then for less than an hour. I didn't sleep. I paced back and forth under the wheeling star as it eased above the horizon. The owl star. I grimace. I am such a faker, pretending to be one of Mama's scouts, pretending I've sat through the night watches in the canopy platforms, sharing the culture of the woodguard around the campfires. Bat star, wolf star, owl star, whippoorwill star. I know all the good-natured grumbles about each one, all the jibes and jokes about who takes which watch, how the wolf star is the worst, because no matter how you slice it, you never get a decent sleep. How the owl star is the loneliest. How the whippoorwill star will make you crazy with the pre-dawn birdsong. I know it all, but it's not mine. Not truly. I'm no woodwalker. I'm no scout. My chances at entering the woodguard were foiled long ago, when it became clear my childhood seizures weren't just freak occurrences. At 10 years old, when my friends were all being fitted for their trainee uniforms, I was being taken.